and welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this very special bonus episode, we are talking with Laura about the first few weeks of her new pregnancy. We call this the Early Pregnancy Diaries, which we recorded ahead of time because she just wasn't quite ready to tell the world yet, but we wanted to document how she was feeling and what was going on. So, Laura, let's dive right in.
Let's do it.
Hey, Laura. So we have transitioned to documenting your early pregnancy journey, and I want to hear your first update. How are you feeling? How far along are you? What is going on?
Yeah, so I am just at the end of 4 weeks.
Okay.
And people who have not been pregnant before may not realize that you basically are 4 weeks pregnant when you find out you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Because they date from the day of your first day of your last period.
It's so bizarre.
The day you have sex and conceive a baby, in theory, or like at least get the sperm heading towards that egg, you're already 2 weeks pregnant. I think I found out I was like 3 weeks and 6 days, right, or something. And who knows, it'll probably change a little bit because last time I had my due date revised by 3 days at an early dating ultrasound. But I'm just, as far as I can tell, I'm at the end of my 4 weeks. And yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I got my first doctor's appointment set up. It's going to be at like 6.5 weeks.
Okay.
And I had a little bit of nausea before I started getting a positive pregnancy test, but that's kind of gone away.
Oh, good.
Which, yeah, it's good. And then I'm like, oh, is it good? You know,
because
worry. But I do have other symptoms where I have like cramping and like it's almost like stretching feelings, even though it's a little early for your uterus. But yeah, they call them like what, round ligament pain. It's like the ligaments in the front of your pelvis are like stretching. I've just been like, so cramping, backaches, and like just so tired. I've been like wanting to nap. Like every time my baby goes down for a nap, I've been trying to nap, which like it's nice, but I haven't been able to get anything done.
Yeah, well, so, you're kind of not supposed to get anything done when you're pregnant and the mom of a toddler and in quarantine.
I mean, wow, what a lot.
But,
you know, I literally have like 5 loads of laundry that are clean that need to be folded.
Oh, folding laundry is the worst.
That's the worst. It is the worst. I also, you know, these are things I don't usually like talking about, but it's our podcast, so I talk about everything. I've been super gassy, which is something I just do not remember from the first pregnancy.
I don't remember
I also
either.
Don't remember the cramping. Like, I don't remember it, but I'm Googling and, you know, people are talking about it. So I don't know. Maybe I didn't have it the first time, or maybe I wasn't taking good enough notes. Maybe I just forgot.
I don't know. It could be. I mean, it could be you were not as in tune with your body at that point
quite yet.
Or there were other more pressing symptoms that you noticed more, like the nausea or something
That's true.
I definitely had the cramping. Yeah. So I remember that vividly.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, I know. It's you think like, oh, I get to have 9 months with no period, but it's like, no, you still get the cramping.
Yeah.
But the other thing I'm trying not to do is like to take a freaking pregnancy test every day, because I'm like, I have all these cheapo tests and like it's really easy to want to like just keep taking them to see the line darken, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to stop myself because it's
okay, then
not
I will
necessary.
Not enable you. I mean, if I had a handful of tests when I was pregnant, I probably would have done that. But
by that, I mean, like, I'm just trying not to do it every day, like every other day or every third day.
Oh, okay, okay.
I kind of want to keep some around in case I ever have, like, any spotting or something. Like, I just want to keep some or, you know, say I have a miscarriage or something. Like, I want to, I don't want to waste them all. So, I don't know. We'll see. But they have been getting darker, so that's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And then, yeah, the other things that happened this week, suddenly, so I, you know, I joined Baby Center again and I'm back on like the baby boards. And suddenly, every single Facebook ad I get is not baby related, which I'm surprised by. I thought it would be like all this baby stuff.
Yeah.
It's for like a specialized pillow.
What?
Like every ad is like either like a pillow that helps you sleep on your side more comfortably, a pillow that like you put between your knees, like a pillow for your back. It's like, wow.
Wow.
They must really target those for pregnant ladies.
Oh, definitely. Well, and they also know you love your pillows. Didn't you have like 5 pregnancy pillows to give away
at the end of last? I did, and I gave them away, and my mom was like, you should keep them if you get pregnant again, but there was no space. So now I'm regretting it a little bit. I need to get a knee pillow because I want to try to avoid having that SPD, the symphysis, the pubic symphysis plane again. So I think if I start sleeping with a pillow between my knees earlier, it might help.
Good.
So
yeah,
anyway.
I hope you can avoid that this time.
Yes, me too. So, but yeah, chugging along and excited for my first ultrasound to, you know, see how it's going and get a date and try to, you know, make it more real.
Yeah, that first appointment definitely does that. Yeah. When is the appointment?
It is in 2 weeks, basically. So it'll be at six weeks and 3 days.
Okay, very cool.
So, yeah, it should be. Oh, one more thing. 2 separate men on separate occasions who are like in their 50s or 60s this week have asked me if I'm going to have a second baby.
What?
Isn't that weird? I was like, are you guys psychic or just really nosy? Like,
how
one was at a park.
Yeah.
I was at a park and like there was like an older man like sitting on a bench and my baby kept walking up. My toddler kept walking up to him and I, you know, staying far away. And then he was like, so are you going to have another one? And like, I'm usually very irritated by that, but I'm like, hopefully, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And then we were getting bids for this work that's going to be done on our house. And one of the contractors was like, you going to have another one? And I was like, what the fuck, man?
People like to make conversation, I guess.
Yes,
I
but I'm also like, are you psychic?
I know.
Like,
the timing is very strange. You're probably just giving off those pregnant vibes.
I guess. They probably just see like my belly, which is like bloated from all the progesterone. They probably want me to say like, they're probably asking so I can be like, yes, I'm 5 months along. It's like, yeah, I'm 4 weeks along.
Oh my God.
The baby is the size of a poppy seed.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, so yeah, we're chugging along.
All right. I love the updates. Laura, week 5 of your pregnancy. What's going on? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. You know, it still feels a little surreal and I'm getting a tiny, tiny bit of nausea right now, but nothing really. So the only thing that's really like indicative of me being pregnant is that I'm getting that round ligament pain. You know, do you remember that? Mm-hmm. It's like the, I guess it's the ligament that connects your uterus to your hip bone. Is that right? Should we look that?
That sounds right. Like,
let's just go with that. It's a ligament in the front of your pelvis, basically. And it's not like all the time, but I did sneeze earlier.
Uh-huh.
And holy shit, like I forgot about this. I sneezed and it hurt so bad. Because it was like, I don't know if it's like pulling. It's like you pulled a muscle, basically. And it wasn't the sneezing muscles. It was like my uterus hurt.
Uh-huh.
So
I feel like it hurt earlier for me on the second time.
Oh,
around.
Yeah.
I wonder, do you remember feeling it this soon?
No, I don't. But I also don't remember much, to be honest. I've actually thought about going back and listening to our podcast.
You should.
And be like, what did I do? How? But of course, we didn't even start this early last time. We started at 8 weeks for me. So I don't remember. And the other fun development is that I got some acne, which is like, yay.
Oh,
I'm like my cheek breaking out on my chin and my cheek. I'm like, okay, cool, cool.
All right.
Hormonal.
Well, those hormones are talking to you.
They sure are. And so the final thing this week is that my baby toddler, whatever he is, 17 month old, he's still nursing. He nurses like 3 times a day, morning, right before nap, and then right before bed. And we're both cool with it. But I have to say that like my nipples are starting to get kind of sore with it. And I'm starting to wonder if maybe my milk is like changing consistency or starting to dry up a little bit because he usually just wants to like nurse on one side and lately he's been wanting to do like both sides and then he also does this really it's cute and also a little offensive where like he'll be like just nursing and then he'll stop, he'll like pull the boob out and kind of like look at the nipple, like point at it and kind of make a face like I'm like, oh, does it not taste the same? And
I bet it doesn't.
Yeah. So, but not. It's only at the end. Like he's perfectly fine at the beginning. So,
Interesting.
I don't know. Yeah. And I think for most people, the milk sort of dries up around week 20. So I don't know if he's going to sort of naturally wean then, or some people say their kids dry nurse, which that doesn't sound fun to me, but
no,
I don't know. I also, forcing him to wean doesn't sound fun either, because he's so emotionally attached, like so attached. So my big plan right now is just go with the flow and see what happens and make a week by week decision on that. But yeah, week 5, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't even know they're pregnant by this point, and I can see why, because I don't, you know, other, you could think that you're like maybe having a late period with the cramps in your uterus. So yeah, still going strong.
Good. Yeah.
Got my first appointment next week, so.
Ooh, exciting. Yeah,
so I'll check back in.
Okay. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know, or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too, and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
Laura, it's week 6 of your new pregnancy. What's the update? What's the scoop? That good, huh?
I was like, I don't really feel too nauseated. It's not too bad. And then like literally at 6 weeks, 0 days, my body was like, oh, hey, did you mention nausea? Do you want to feel awful? Here you go.
Oh, how nice.
Oh, my God. I don't remember it being this bad last time. Like, I remember being sick, but not this sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had diclegis, which is that morning sickness medicine, prescription medicine
that we both used
in our last pregnancies. I had it left over and it was very expired. I think it expired like a year ago, but I threw caution to the wind and started taking it, and it wasn't really helping. Like, it wasn't, I don't know. And I'm worried, like, oh, you know, it's expired. And then I Googled it and it was like, oh, you shouldn't take it while breastfeeding. I'm still breastfeeding. But then there's also, because they say that the Unisom, it's basically Unisom and B6 in like an extended release formula. And apparently the Unisom can get into your breast milk and like cause irritation or like grogginess in babies. But like the data is on infants, like newborns, you know? Not 25-pound giants, you know, who can walk up to you and say boo-boo and lift your shirt, you know? So I think I'm okay with taking it based on my research. Mothertobaby.org seems to think it's fine. So, anyway, so, but yeah, I feel like shit. Like, and then I'm like, I am so gassy. Like, my stomach, it looks like I'm 3 months pregnant, like four or five months.
God.
Like, my stomach is so distended.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know what it feels? It feels like a terrible hangover that just won't end. Like, nothing you do helps it.
Mm-hmm. What about like coffee or caffeine? Do you have any stomach for that right now?
Not really. I've been drinking Coke. I feel good when I drink like very small bits of like sugary carbonated drinks, which might explain the gas a little bit. But like, but coffee just sounds disgusting to me right now. And I ordered some of those PSI bands. You know what those are? They're like the like things you put on your wrist, little bracelets that press on your acupressure point that's supposed to help with nausea.
Yeah, I had those. Mm-hmm.
So we'll see when those come. But yeah, I feel like crap. But the positive thing that happened this week is I got to go to my first appointment with my doctor.
Oh, yay. Okay. Yeah. How did it go?
So I went. It's still COVID time. So I went by myself. It turns out I could have brought Corey with me, but you can't bring kids and I wouldn't have brought my toddler anyway.
Oh, right.
And we don't have childcare, so it's sort of like, well, you know, I'll just go by myself. I feel like it's so funny because I mentioned that to my doctor. He's like, oh yeah, when it's people's second babies, I never see the husbands. He's like, until the birth.
So funny.
But yeah, so we went and, you know, we got the urine sample, we got the blood pressure, the weight, the whole shebang. And then we went and I got to, he did a transvaginal ultrasound, which is the one that's most accurate at this gestational age, right? And I thought I was 6 weeks, 3 days, and the ultrasound measured 6 weeks, 2 days. So, I mean, that's pretty darn close.
That's so close. Yeah.
But yeah, there was a little sphere in there, and we got to hear a little bit of a heartbeat. So,
oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, which is good because you don't always hear a heartbeat that early. Mm-hmm. 6 weeks is pretty early. So, yeah, he said everything looked good. Everything was fine. And good. I'm going back in 3 weeks for my next appointment.
Okay. At that point, will you be able to get the blood test, the NIP test?
Yeah. It starts, I think, around 9 weeks, 9 to 12 weeks or something. You can do the non-invasive prenatal screening, the NIPS mm-hmm. or NIPT. And so we're going to do that. We're going to do some thyroid blood work because I have a hypothyroid situation. So see if that's still under control. And then another mm-hmm. ultrasound. I think they said the dating should be, like, the dating of the embryo should be better at the next one. Like he said, it's mm-hmm. at 6 weeks, it's a little early to get a like accurate right. measurement. So we'll see. Because I really think that I ovulated like a little bit sooner than that. So, mm-hmm. but we'll see. I mean, gosh, it doesn't really matter. I just want to be out of my first trimester as fast as possible.
Just 24 hours sooner, please.
Please.
So do you have any like crazy things you've Googled or any never have I ever since this new pregnancy?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yes.
Do you remember recently there was like a space launch? SpaceX was doing a launch mm-hmm. to get people up to the space station.
Yeah.
Never have I ever cried while watching a space launch.
Oh, you must feel very emotional.
It's so fun. I don't have any like particular interest. I like, you know, I have vague interest in space travel, like anyone, but it's not like a topic I've really been fascinated with my whole life. I have no interest in being an astronaut, but I was watching. I was just like, it's so amazing.
What humans can do.
Yes. I also cried at a commercial, and it wasn't even like a emotional commercial. It was a commercial announcing that Elmo was doing Zoom calls with kids on Good Morning America because of the epidemic.
Oh, that's so cute.
And I was just like, it must be so special for those little kids to get a call from Elmo.
Oh, girl. Gotta love those hormones. Woo.
Here they are. Surgeon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm hoping. Oh, I should say also that I got a new Diclegis prescription for my doctor, and I need to send Corey to pick it up. Because maybe the fact that it's been expired is a problem. Because it is extended release. Maybe those degrade faster. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm willing to try anything at this point.
Uh-huh. Good. Well, I'm glad you're getting a new prescription. That's good.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, that's it.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll check in with you next week.
Sounds good.
Hey, Laura. It is week 7 of your pregnancy, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So why don't you give us a little update? How are you feeling? What's going on?
Well, it turns out the Diclegis is working. Thank God. So
the non-expired Diclegis?
Yeah, it turns out taking expired medicines isn't as effective as taking fresh medicine. I don't know. I always thought the expiration dates were kind of bullshit, but apparently I was wrong.
I guess so, yeah.
It was either that or I was taking it with my prenatal vitamin that has iron in it, mm-hmm. and it might have been like interacting, you know, like the iron might have been blocking it. So now I'm like trying to take my prenatal in the middle of the day mm-hmm. and taking the Diclegis at night. You take like 2 pills at night.
Right.
That's at least like the base level dosage, right? You take like 2 at night. And then if it still isn't working, you add like 1 more in the morning. And then if that's still not working, you add 1 more in the afternoon. So.
Oh, God. And then you'd like basically expect not to be awake all day. God,
yeah, I don't know how.
So tired.
I know. It's Unisom. So. Mm-hmm. But tired is, for me, is so much better than feeling like I'm going to barf all the time.
Yes,
so.
True.
Yeah, so I'm very stoked about that. That's the good news.
Yay!
The bad news is I think I have gallstones.
Ooh, no. What?
Yeah, so I've had gallstones in the past. Once in college, I had a really bad gallstone attack, basically, mm-hmm. where I was super, super sick and was just like in so much pain. And by the time I got to the hospital the next day, I was like, I think I have to go to the hospital. They had passed. Like I called and they're like, here's an appointment for the afternoon. And all of a sudden I started feeling better.
Wow, that's crazy.
So I think the stones had passed, so I no longer had pain.
Uh-huh.
So I know what it feels like. And I've had like here and there some issues, you know, in the past couple of years, but nothing bad. Just like where it'll be a little bit tender. Your gallbladder's on your right side, like right under your ribs.
Oh, okay.
And so sometimes it'll be like really tender there and I can tell that it's sore. It usually starts with like back pain for me and then it radiates.
Mm-hmm.
So just one night in the middle of this week, I think it was Wednesday, I just started having like really bad back pain. And then I started feeling it radiate. And then I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I recognize this pain. And I went to, like, palpate under my right ribs. And it was, like, so painful.
Oh, no.
And my abdomen was all, like, swollen. I was like, shit. So I got a heating pad and put it on my back. And that helped. And I started eating, like, smaller meals and was and cut out, like, fatty foods basically altogether. Because what happens is... your gallbladder stores bile from your liver, right? The bile breaks down fats. So what happens when your gallbladder is working perfectly is you eat a fatty meal, your gallbladder squirts out extra bile to take care of the fat. But if you have stones blocking the exit, right?
When
it tries to squirt out the bile, it can't and it gets like swollen and, you know, it can burst, which is a really bad complication.
Yeah.
So I like was eating like low fat meals and really small meals. And by day two, it had gotten much better. So
are pregnant people more prone to getting gallstones? Is there something about being pregnant that you think?
So I knew that that was like a thing, but I hadn't read that much about it. And I went and read up on it. And yeah, pregnant women are like way more likely to get gallstones. It's a really common complication in pregnancy. And a lot of women end up having surgery in their second trimester to remove their gallbladder. So now I'm like paranoid I'm going to need that.
And then God.
Okay, also breastfeeding increases your chances. So I'm still breastfeeding and I'm
double
pregnant.
Whammy.
Yep. And I have a history of like gallbladder issues.
Mm-hmm.
My mom had her gallbladder out. My grandma had her gallbladder out. Like
really?
It runs in the family. Yeah.
Wow.
So now I'm just really paranoid I'm going to need surgery during this pregnancy, which is like not what I want.
No. So do you just keep continuing to eat a low fat diet?
I guess. I mean, I don't know how realistic that's going to be through pregnancy, right? Like you need fat.
Yeah.
So by the end of this week, right now I feel normal. So I'm just going to keep an eye on it and try to eat smaller meals. And if I start getting pain, like know that's what it is. So, but I'm going to ask my doctor about it when I have my 9-week appointment. So in 2 weeks.
Okay.
See if he has any suggestions, but
Yeah. Ugh, I really don't want you to have surgery during pregnancy.
I really don't want to have surgery during pregnancy. Although I was surprised to learn that it's like actually apparently fine. If it's necessary, it's apparently fine to have surgery during your second trimester. It's like the best time. You can have surgery any trimester if necessary. But like they say second trimester is golden. I'm like, all right.
Okay.
Whatever. Things, you know, I like I can't take Advil, but just give me some, knock me out and take my gallbladder out, whatever.
But then when you could only take acetaminophen, Tylenol for the recovery period.
No. That is another reason to not have surgery during pregnancy. So anyway, going to try to avoid that, but I don't know, you know, how much I can do. So,
Well, I hope you keep feeling better.
Thank you. Yeah. As of now, the nausea is under control and the gallbladder is behaving. So I still get like waves, like especially in the afternoons, what I think when the diclegis is wearing off, I'll get like waves of nausea. So I still know I'm pregnant, but thank goodness it's not all day.
Yeah, that is good.
Like your birthday party.
Oh,
did we talk about that?
I don't think so.
We did a Zoom call for your birthday and I was miserable.
What a trooper though. You stuck with it.
The whole time I'm like sighing and like my head is like leaned back. I felt like such a jerk, but I was like, it's your birthday. I want to Zoom with you.
Aw, that's nice. I've been pregnant and nauseous on like almost every single birthday of mine in the last like 4 years, it seems par for the course for you to have it this year. So
didn't we do it? Oh no, that was my birthday party 2 years ago where we were both pregnant and both trying to keep it a secret. And our friend Allison was like, why aren't you guys drinking? What's going on with you guys? Do you remember
that? At the Japanese restaurant?
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. I think I was like pretending to drink or something. That was always in early pregnancy. Oh, but she's so perceptive. Yes.
She is. And also she like doesn't hesitate to ask. Oh, I remember what happened with that one. So afterwards she came up to me and she's like, oh my God, is Shauna pregnant?
That's right.
And I was like, and I took one for the team. Do you remember this? I was like, you know, I don't know, but I might be. And I totally deflected and told her I was pregnant.
My gosh.
And she got to be distracted by that.
That's good. Oh, good work. Good work, my friends. That's why I keep you around.
That's the only reason.
The only reason. Just kidding. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to next week's update. Keep taking care of yourself.
Thank you.
We'll talk soon.
Talk to you soon.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
Hey, Laura. So 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you give us your check-in?
Yeah. So this week, the sort of reality of pregnancy is kind of sinking in that two things I want to talk about this week. One is I am just exhausted, like bone tired. Thankfully, the nausea is a little bit better, you know, mm-hmm. because I'm taking the Diclegis and that's helping a lot. But it's also Unisom, like delayed release sleeping pills.
Yeah, more or less.
So I don't know. I mean, who knows if I wasn't taking it, if I'd have more energy or if it's just that like one of the major symptoms of your first trimester is like being exhausted. So I just, mm-hmm. I don't know. So
probably a combo of both.
Yes. Yeah. But I just, all I want to do is nap all day. Mm-hmm. I want to go to bed early. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I need to be doing stuff, you know? Like,
yeah. Besides growing a human.
Besides growing a human, like taking care of the human I already grew.
Yeah, exactly.
It is growing very quickly on the outside of me.
Yes.
And I can't. I'm trying to like let myself nap, you know, let myself mm-hmm. rest. Because I do remind myself, you know, this isn't a forever thing.
Yes.
Your body is doing some amazing stuff right now. It's so easy to forget that your body mm-hmm. is doing all this extra stuff right now. But it's also so hard when you're like, you know, your toddler's screaming for you and you have emails to answer and stuff to do. And it's just very exhausting.
It is. Yeah. It's a lot.
And I do long for those first pregnancy days where it was like, there's no toddler.
I know. Around. It's a little bit easier.
It's such a different experience. Yeah. Although mm-hmm. at the time I was working full time and working, I think more than full time, I had like all these crazy deadlines with my work. Yeah. So I remember that being really hard. And also I couldn't tell anyone at work. And now, you know, I'm not, other than doing the podcast, I don't have a normal job, quote unquote. I have gigs here and there, but not a lot, mm-hmm. especially with this quarantine that we're in.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of pressure. But the pressure is usually some little human saying, mama, 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 everywhere.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah. And, you know, it's kind of hard because, like, I feel like I'm not my normal self with my toddler. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like I find myself getting annoyed at him more than I would.
Yeah.
And then I feel guilty. Mm-hmm. And that's just been hard. That's, I see myself like I like can sort of hover above my tired self and be like, you need to be a better mom and do more stuff and be more engaged with him. And I'm just like, well, how about we put on Elmo and mommy lies down on the couch for a little bit?
Oh, my God. I remember that. Just like Elle was just watching TV and I just like fell asleep on the couch while she was watching TV when I was pregnant, you know?
So yeah.
Like, oh, man, it's really hard. I hear you.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm trying to power through that and, mm-hmm. you know, rest when he's napping and stuff like that. So, and the other thing I wanted to talk about was that somehow I think I'm getting my SPD pain already.
No, didn't that come at like 35 weeks last time?
I don't remember exactly, but it was definitely third trimester. And for anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, it was my, so if you imagine your pelvic bone, right, at the very front, there's a piece of cartilage that keeps your left and right hip bones, right, in place, basically. Mm. And during pregnancy, you excrete a lot of this relaxin hormone and it makes it stretch. And you want it to stretch, right? Because you need the baby to go through there. I won't probably because I'm probably going to have a repeat C-section this mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
But what can happen is it can make your left and right side sort of be off, like off alignment, and it can pull on that thing. And so that's called the pubic symphysis. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, the condition is called SPD, symphysis pubic dysfunction, or something like that, SPD.
Yeah.
So it's like reverse. But in my third trimester last time, I had really bad SPD pain. Mm-hmm. And I like went to a chiropractor for it. And I like did all these PT exercises. And I'm starting to recognize that pain already now.
No. Mm-hmm.
So I just need to take that as a hint. It's not bad, but I feel twinges of it. Mm-hmm. And I need to just force myself to start doing the physical therapy exercises like now. And start doing
just what you want to do when you're completely exhausted.
Yeah. Can you guess how many times I've done them?
30.
Zero.
Oh, I was off by 30.
You were off by 30. Yeah, it was. I've Googled them to remind myself what they are.
Good,
and I keep thinking I just like how am I going to remember to do this? I need help from you, Shauna. Like,
well, I can send you text reminders every day.
Ooh, that would make me do it. I'm an obliger, so I would definitely be like, oh crap.
Yes, exactly.
Or maybe we can't record until I do my PT exercises.
Oh, why are you going to punish me?
No, it'll
you owe
no,
me $100 if you don't do your exercises, just like our old film group we used to be in.
See, I feel like I would be more motivated by feeling bad about like delaying our schedule. You know, it would just make me do it. It would just it would just make me, because I would never actually do. I would never actually miss it. I would you know, I would just be like, OK, I got. And honestly, they take like 10 minutes. It's not that bad. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But I think if I can stay on top of it from the beginning in this pregnancy, hopefully it means that it won't be that bad, you know, going forward. So,
hope so. Gosh, I don't want you to be debilitated again. That was no fun.
Well, I don't know how I would do that with a toddler. Like, I honestly don't know. So,
I don't know.
Yeah. But hopefully all the things I learned last time will pay off this time.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So that is my week. It's like, oh, hey, body wants you to know you're pregnant. Did you know?
Oh, man. Good old body.
Good old body.
Communicating with you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll check in next week.
Okay.
Okay, this is week 9, and the last weekly check-in of our bonus episodes before we add all your check-ins into the weekly podcast. So what is going on this week? What do you have to tell us about your new pregnancy?
So yeah, I'm just at the end of my week 9, and the nausea is much better all of a sudden, which of course like makes me nervous, but last week I forgot to mention I actually upped my Diclegis dose for a couple days. You know, Diclegis, it's weird, you take 2 at night, and then if that doesn't work, you take 2 at night and then 1 in the morning, and if that still doesn't work, they tell you to take 2 at night, 1 in the morning, and 1 in the afternoon. So I was taking 2 at night, and then it started, like, the nausea just started to creep in the afternoons. And so I upped it to taking the 1 in the morning. And that helped for sure.
Yeah.
It also just made me really tired. So I've decided this week to go back down to 2 because I wasn't really having any days where it was peeking through. So I'm trying to go back to 2 so I don't have to take a nap every day during my toddler's nap time. You know, it's that.
Yes.
It feels good to take a nap, but then it gets old. And then I was having trouble falling asleep at night because, you know, pregnancy, insomnia, and all that crap.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Back down to 2. I still get little waves of nausea. And this week I actually got to have my second ultrasound.
Oh, good. So how'd it go?
Yeah, I saw the baby. It was 9 weeks, 2 days, still measuring exactly on the date that I expected it to be.
Oh my God, that's amazing. So what is your due date then?
Well, yeah, my due date is February 8th.
Okay.
But I'm going to guess I'm going to have the baby on February 1st or 2nd, which is a week before the due date, with another repeat C-section. So not 100% on that yet. Well, and you know, you never know. You could go into labor at 37 weeks and might not have my repeat C-section. But I would put good money on it being like a February 2nd baby. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, my toddler will be 25 months old basically when the baby's born. So,
perfect.
Yeah. Almost exactly 2 years.
Uh huh.
But so we went and we saw the ultrasound, and you know, it's so nerve wracking. I was there alone because Corey had to stay home and watch the toddler. We don't have childcare because of the whole coronavirus situation. And it's funny because my doctor was like, oh, you never see partners on a second pregnancy.
Of course.
It's like the first pregnancy, everyone comes and everyone wants to see. Second pregnancy, they're like, oh, he's home taking care of the kid. So, but I was in there and I was surprisingly a little nervous, maybe because my nausea had gone down. And, you know, you just always wonder. I honestly, your experiences, you know, have definitely informed sort of my expectations of these sonograms because, you know, I know you've had some really surprising and disappointing sonograms, right? And I didn't want to think that couldn't happen to me. You know, I definitely felt like it could. So
yeah, and it probably helped a lot to go in with that mindset. I mean, the first time it happened to me, I was so blindsided, like I didn't even think that was a possibility. So yeah, just kind of just knowing the truth of what the odds are, and that's okay. You know,
yeah.
Sorry you were nervous, though.
Well, no, I think I would have been nervous either way. And like you said, I think it's good to have that knowledge going in. I also, as everyone who's listened to this probably knows, that I'm like super pragmatic about the odds and stuff, you know, early on. Like, I'm looking at the miscarriage calculator and like knowing exactly like how common it is, especially in early pregnancy. So, but so I'm getting the ultrasound, which is transvaginal, which is always like fun, right? Not, I'm being sarcastic. It's always just like, all right. And my doctor, he's like, let's see here, let's see. And I'm always worried, oh, he can't find the baby. And then he goes like, there it is. You got a monster of a baby in there. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, good.
So there's a monster of a baby in there, growing, growing. And yeah, so, you know, that's going well. And I just have one thing to complain about this week.
What's that?
Corey has decided to go low carb.
Dude. Didn't he do this last time, too?
I don't remember. Did he?
I remember, distinctly remember, you're like, all I want for dinner is pizza. And he was like eating salad or something. Like, he decided to try to improve his diet, like, exactly when you got pregnant.
I think you're right. Blocked it out.
Mad at him for you.
It's so rude. It's
and it's
so
not even
rude.
Like you and I can go out and binge on carbs together. Like, he's the only adult you're eating with right now.
Yes, I know. And also, like, I'm the one cooking dinner most of the time. So, you know, I'll be like, hey, you know, he'll say, like, what can we make for dinner? And I'll be like, well, our options are, you know, our options are basically order in, or I can make a quick pasta because that's all I have time for and supplies for. And he'll be like, well, is there anything meat we can have? And I'm just like, So the other day I did actually, like, I let him order himself something for dinner or have some leftovers or something. And I made, like, buttered noodles with Parmesan and like cracked pepper and gave that to my toddler and I ate it too. And Corey was like, are you happy? I'm like, I'm so happy. You have no idea.
Happy. Oh my God. I'm binging carbs right now and I'm not even pregnant. So I feel you.
Yeah. But it's just rude. I think what happens is that he finds out I'm pregnant and it's like an existential crisis for him. You know, he realizes like he has to be healthy for another human being. And so it inspires him to start eating better and working out. It's just like the worst timing.
It really, really is. And how nice for him to just be able to be like, I'm going to exercise and eat well to prepare for my second child.
Yeah. Anyway, the beauty of the world is that we can have different dinners if we really want to, and we do. So
good. Yeah.
But if that's all I have to complain about this week, I think I'm having a pretty good week. So
yay.
But anyway, I don't want to end this on complaining. But the other thing I did at the doctor's office this week was I got the NIPT blood work done, the non-invasive prenatal test.
Yes.
So I don't have the results yet. It's going to be... It's supposed to be 2 weeks. I told my mom that. And my mom's a geneticist who works with the company. Like, she orders probably 1,000 of these tests every year, maybe more. So she knows the company and she's like, oh, no. I'm going to get a rush put on it. She's like,
I know the rep.
I'm going to call them. So she called the rep, or actually she had her colleague call the rep. And like,
oh, good.
And in theory, it'll be rushed a little bit. So we'll see. And then I also got a thyroid panel done. You know, they do all the prenatal blood work and then they added thyroid on because I have hypothyroidism. I've had to take thyroid supplements basically, I mean, since I was in my early 20s. And it is really important to stay on top of your thyroid during pregnancy. And it's actually when trying to conceive and in your pregnancy. So I actually had my doctor up my thyroid dose while I was trying to conceive. And so we took the blood work to see what my levels were at. And they're actually good at this higher level. So he wants to keep me on this higher level. And that also indicates to me that it was good that we upped it. So
good. Good instincts.
Yeah. So yeah. So we're chugging along and I'm ready to start talking about this on the podcast, the real podcast.
Yeah. And the check-in.
Bonus episode.
Yeah. So this is the end of our early pregnancy diaries special bonus episode. And in episode 111 of our regular episodes, you're going to start checking in on your pregnancy with week 10, where you might be able to reveal the results of your NIPT test.
I hope so. We'll see. We'll see.
Laura, you have any last words?
I'm really tired.
I hear you, girl.
But thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. And if you have anything you want to reach out to us about, you know we love to hear from you. Do you have any questions for us, for Laura, about her early pregnancy? Go ahead and reach out. Laura, I know you're tired, but can you remind everyone where to reach us?
I can do this while I'm sleeping. We are at BFP Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. Request to join. It's a private group, so you answer two membership questions. If you answer them both, I'll send you right through, and you can join in on all the amazing discussions we're having in there. Also, you can find us at BigFatPositivePodcast.com or send us an email to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Sean Amico, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.